spoke last week and just basically said we're going to start talking about prayer. I'm going to start teaching more about prayer this first part of the year, and that's what we're going to do today. Prayer is an integral part of our lives. Typically, the only time we really do pray, though, is when we're going through a trial. When we feel a little dry, we don't talk to God. Not talking to God is like being in a relationship with someone and never talking to them. You're not going to have much of a relationship, are you? You should actually spend more time talking. Guys, I will tell you this much. I'm not saying that I always do it. But I have noticed one thing, that when I spend more time talking with my wife, not just at her, I usually get what I want. You single guys, no talking. No, seriously though, our prayer life is how we develop a relationship with God. We have touted, it's become the catch thing. It's a relationship, not a religion. And that is the exact truth. It's about the relationship we have with God. In the very beginning, there was no need for prayer. Prayer is a result of sin. Because we didn't need to pray. God came down into the garden and walked with man. There was no need to try to converse through time and space. God himself came down and visited man. It says so in your Bible, whether you choose to believe what I just said or not. But it all came down because sin separated us, and now God could no longer come down on the planet. God can't be there where the sin is. And so we have been, I'm not trying to make little of this, but to show you how great something Adam had and that we will once again have. We have been relegated down to praying, talking to God whom we can't see. But in faith, we believe that he is there. Adam didn't have to walk in faith. Did you realize that? Adam is not listed in the Hall of Fame of faith. It didn't require, your Bible says, if you've got it, it doesn't require faith to acquire it. I don't have to have faith to go out and get in my car because it's there. Don't have to have faith to believe for a wife. I've got one. Adam did not have to have faith. Did you ever think about that? Because he had the best of the relationship. Now, ever since that point, we have had to pray. It develops a relationship. We talk to God. But here's something that most people forget. God talks back. Another thing, most of the time people say, God didn't answer my prayer. I bet he did. And I bet he said no. It's funny how the only word we hear is yes. We never hear God say no. Not at this time. I used to pray and pray and pray for a Mustang. I wanted a Mustang. The older I've gotten, the more I realize they ride like go-karts. And I still act like an idiot. But when I got one, that's how come I realized I had to mature from a 16-year-old to 31. 15 years I had to wait. Just to realize, it's just another car. Cars are cars. Anybody can go fast in a car with a big motor. You can go fast in a car with a little motor. But point was, I kept praying and praying. That was always the desire of my heart. I wanted one. I wanted one. And I wanted one. Never once did I hear God say no. Because I wanted it. It has to be your will, Lord. It's my desire. Your word says you'll give me what I desire. He did 15 years later. When I could handle it. But you see, prayer is something that is truly missing in the body of Christ. We say canned prayers. We don't mean them. When I do weddings and when I do funerals, I do not read out of a book. But I've got them. And there's the prayer right in there. It's a canned prayer. And while we may think that we truly believe it, it's no different than we say, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. What does that mean to us? It's something we memorized. It's no different sometimes than hickory dickory dock. But the truth of the matter is, prayer is a communication between two entities, between us and between God. Here's another great thing. When we pray, our vocabulary does not change. Although I have heard it. Anybody, it's a Geico commercial. The oldest trick in the book. Lookest thou there. Ha, made thou us look. Why do we do this? Why do we think that changing our vocabulary when we pray, God hears it? Who are you? If you're African, you're going to pray in Swahili. Right? If you're Hindu, if you're Indian, you're going to pray in Hindi. So why do we suddenly think that because we're Americans, we need to adopt a language that has been off the face of the planet for quite some time now? Because it was very difficult to speak. Well, that's because we think that God hears our prayer and that we're more serious. I'm actually getting ahead of myself here. But go ahead and open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. This is one I know you've heard. But it's where we need to go. It says, if my people, are you God's people? Amen. Who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. The word humble, it means literally to bend at the knee. When you came into the presence of a king, you were put on your knees or on your face. You were humbled before that person. Now, they did it physically. However, let me tell you a little something. Just because somebody goes down on their knees does not mean that they're humbled in their heart. Humility is a condition of the heart, not a condition of how you're standing. Just because I stand erect and with my shoulders back does not mean that I'm prideful and arrogant. It just means somebody stood behind me and yelled at me until I stood up straight and rolled my shoulders back. But yet, so many other people, you're just arrogant. Look at how you walk. Look at how that person walks. They hold themselves just so like they're much better. No, they learn to walk properly, not like a Neanderthal. Why then do we think that just because we came and we bent our knee at an altar, that we humbled ourselves? When humility is a condition of the heart. So God is saying that if we will humble ourselves, first off, in our hearts, not just bending our knee. I actually spend more time praying on my feet. But does that mean God's not hearing my prayer because I'm not humbled? No. Whether I'm on my face, and I have been on my face before praying, or whether I'm standing erect does not have anything to do with it. It's the condition of my heart. I can come boldly. We'll talk about this in a minute. I can come boldly. There's a difference between being bold and being arrogant. Huge difference. It can be a fine line, but there is a difference between boldly and arrogantly. Arrogantly, you demand it. Boldly, you've been told you can receive it. So therefore, you're coming to receive. Might want to bring my notes down with me. But humility pretty much is to be humbled means to bring into subjection to another. In other words, it's bringing our flesh and our spirit into subjection to God. When we do bend our knee, well, that's been bringing the flesh into subjection. But you know, if I were captured on a field of battle and brought before the general or whoever, and they smacked me in the back of the knees with a ball bat and brought me to my knees, did that humble my spirit? I can promise you it did not. All it did was made my resolve even more that I'm going to beat you. So that doesn't humble us at all. And humility is something only we can do. Now, God can take us through steps and we will be humbled. But He would prefer that we humble ourselves. Did you not read that? It's right there still. If they will humble themselves, He does not want to humble us. Oh, but God, we need you to make us humble as a nation. You don't want God to have to do that. We as a nation should humble ourselves. We as the body of Christ should humble ourselves. It shouldn't be up to God. And I'll be honest with you, the time to do it is when we realize we're missing something. We're missing. There's something here. What is it? We got to get it. You know, you start realizing you're missing food in your belly when it starts growling, don't you? Well, in the spirit, your body, your spirit does the same thing. It starts growling and groaning. Something's wrong. What is it? What is it? What is it? What is it? Maybe I need to spend more time getting busy. Maybe I need to be busy, 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 busy. No, we're too busy. And I laugh at some of the people that tell me how busy they are. Oh, we're just so busy. We're too busy. We're too busy. We're too busy. So stop things. Put the brakes on yourself. You're the driver of the bus. Put the brakes on. It amazes me the number of people that do not realize they're driving the bus. Oh, but life just comes in and takes over. Life takes over because you let it. You can either be the victim or the victor in the situation. But you're in charge of it. Life isn't going any faster than it did at any other time in life. We just let our time get wasted by meaningless things. But prayer. There's two words that were used for prayer. One was an incitement. I pray now. Basically, I'm asking. Okay? But the one that we use here, the word, and this one just kind of took, it means to judge. Officially or mentally. By extension or to intercede, make supplication. And supplication means an earnest request. And by the way, earnest means serious. Reality. And again, I started talking about that. Seriousness is not where, oh, let's all come together now. Seriousness means you believe it. Reality. By the way, the stuff you're watching on TV is not reality. What's that one guy that's supposed to be this great survivalist? Bear? When it was revealed that he was actually sleeping in hotel rooms. How long did it take you guys to figure that out? And nobody in their right mind eats cat poop. I watched him do that one time. I'm like, are you serious? You're nasty. They tried to teach me how to eat some rotten, nasty things, but they were still alive. But you see, reality TV is not reality, is it? It's all fake. You know what? I love the show Duck Dynasty, but guess what? It's not total reality. There's only a little portion of that that is off the cuff. They plan things out. And by the way, you know, those four guys that sit around in the duck call room, they don't produce all of those duck calls. If you've never paid attention, look in the background, you'll see people walking. That's the people who are making the duck calls. These guys are getting paid to be on the show right now. You don't run multi-million dollar businesses by screwing around all day going fishing. But see, people have a hard time separating reality from that because we call it reality. That's the reality we would like to have. It's not reality. However, when we go before God in prayer, prayer means a reality. This is real. I believe God. You know what the word judge? It means to judge Him faithful. To judge that God is faithful and He will. Not just, well, God, I don't know if you can do this. Are you serious? We're just now starting to see there's more beyond our few billion stars. There are planets. There are stars that make our sun. There's stars that make Jupiter look like a baby. So what? Why can't we judge God faithful in our prayers? Why can't we judge that God will? Because he never answered my prayer before. Did you believe? We're going to talk about this in a minute. Did you really believe? There's a difference. That's why I say, I don't pray canned prayers. I may take pauses when I'm praying. It's because it's not written out for me. I don't believe in canned prayers. I was a lay reader in boot camp. We had a canned prayer. I didn't pray it then. And I got made fun of for praying for the drill instructors. But guess what? I ended up on the quarterdeck a lot less than some of the other guys. And that was worth it to me. Give me all the ribbing you want. Just keep me off the quarterdeck. By the way, if you don't know what that was, it was not a good place to be. But earnest, again, does not mean our vocabulary suddenly changes or our facial expressions become stern, but rather our heart. Believes it. That we believe in all seriousness that what I'm asking God for, He's going to do it. Our prayers at first are simple. They're childlike, aren't they? Well, we don't know how to quite talk to God, you know. We see it on TV. God, it's been a while since I've talked to you. And I don't care what show it is. You'll find secular shows, and that's exactly what they do. Because that's exactly what happens. We come back childish. Childlike. But guess what? Something changes in our prayer. My children, you know, first, well, they're asking for this. You know, Mommy, I'm hungry. Can I have some crackers? Can I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? My children have grown, and they've grown in boldness. They now ask me for steaks. Whatever happened to the day of cheap peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Dad, can we go to the steakhouse? I'm like, are you kidding me? But you see, That's exactly what God wants. He wants you to believe Him for the PBJ in the beginning and step you up and start asking you, or for you to start asking Him for the porterhouse. He wants to take you up. He wants you to keep asking, pushing, believing in all seriousness. But not just because you got mean. I heard one woman, we was in a church, and she, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, okay? I also believe that there is a control in that realm as well. Because I've been in churches where it was just, hey, it's a free-for-all. Let's do whatever we want and interrupt the service and be disruptive and do all that just because we're in the Spirit. No, my Bible says that the gifts are subject. And then turns around and says, and there is order. But this woman would bring forth a word, and her demeanor changed. She would get mean. Her looks would change. I mean, she just, this is God talking to me? Is this the God that I'm hearing from the message years ago, sinners in the hands of an angry God? Is this the God? And I think the pastor actually said something to her one day about, why do you look so, I'm so serious. Really? Do you know I can be laughing? Now my children sometimes think I'm kidding, but then they realize real quick, Dad's not kidding. If I ask my boys, do you want to take a walk? Where's Jesse? Oh, Jesse's back here. Do you want to take a walk? Their demeanor changes because they know we're going to talk about something important. But then there might just be times I want to take a walk. I want to talk with them. But either way, I'm serious. I don't have to tell my boys, and if I do, if I have to tell them I'm serious, they're about to get the right foot of elevation. But in the beginning, when we pray and we ask God for things, it is childlike. But if we've coupled that prayer with faith, I've heard people say that if you're believing for something and you're an older believer, find somebody who just got saved and ask them to join with you in prayer because their faith level is so high right now. It's not that yours isn't high anymore. It's you've gotten cold. You no longer truly believe. They're experiencing salvation. They're experiencing the presence of God coming over their lives and washing them clean. The truth of the matter is, you need to hit the prayer closet yourself. And when God answers those prayers, what happens is our faith begins to build, it's strengthened. We start seeing God doing things in our lives, and we start believing. But see, what happens is we start listening to the world. Well, prayer doesn't work. Prayer is just a catchphrase. President comes on the national tragedy, let's all pray. How many people actually pray? 100? And unfortunately, that's probably closer to the reality of it. We don't do it because we really don't believe. And here's the thing. All I can do for you, honey, is pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Because I believe that when people who are full of faith pray, stuff happens. You know, we had the men's breakfast yesterday morning, and you know, most of you remember that over the last couple, you know, before Christmas, I asked God for special deals for people in here. How many of you got one? There's a few of you. God took you to sales that were above and beyond what you were expecting. And I just hope the rest of you either had already gotten all your shopping done. But I'm going to tell you, when I ask God for something, you had better just catch on to it. Because again, that's why I don't pray canned prayers. God, over there in the morning, God, this is your service. So I turn it over to Him at that point. And as I'm walking down that aisle praying, that's what God's laying on my heart. Because I can't tell you how many times people have come to me afterwards and said, what you prayed Sunday, I experienced this week. And you need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. So now, when we start seeing God moving in our prayer life, our strength starts growing. And so now we can start boldly asking God for things. We can start declaring God's will. Guess what? God's will is a little extreme on this earth. People don't realize it. His will is the extreme. I don't think that it's just a happenstance that this generation has got to be one of the most extreme generations we're facing. There's no fear. But here's the problem. There's also no respect. I watched the other night, most of you probably watched the Clemson-Ohio State game. Watched a particular running back. The way they described him is he has no fear. He didn't, not playing. But guess what? Afterwards, he also had absolutely no respect. I watched him as he stood there throwing oranges out of the trophies. Did y'all catch that? They're even trying to get him away from it. But the knucklehead has no fear, no respect. No fear brings about no respect. That wasn't for him to do, and he was a distraction. He did not respect the very people who were there who provided him this opportunity. Great running back. But you see, we're in this generation that is extreme in everything. Okay, we can't just take jumping off of a cliff anymore into water. We got to go into outer space and jump. We've got to go faster. I'm sorry, but 0 to 60 in 3 seconds is pretty fast. We don't need to go that much faster. You can ask a particular man named Don Garlitz about the effects of those G's that you're pulling. He retired because his eyesight was going. And the reason his eyesight was going is the G's were so hard on his eyes that it was literally pulling the optic nerve away from his eyeball. And the doctor said, you do one more race and you will probably go blind. That's how delicate it is now. One more race. Folks, we've got cars on the market now that beat what he was driving. We got cars that will do in excess of 200 miles an hour, and they've proved it. Can I tell you something? At 100 miles an hour, you hit anything, you're dead. We don't have the cars that they showed on the movie with Stallone called Judge Dredd. Y'all remember that one? He crashed that car. Poof, he's full of insulation protecting him. We don't have that. There is no such thing. That's my wife's wildest fantasy, really. Bundle up, set the cruise, and drive down I-77 in West Virginia without taking the cruise off. I woke up really well after she informed me of that little fantasy she was having. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go to sleep. So now we go to God with confidence in our prayers. Now, hey, you know what? We might ask God about details. Right? God is a God of details. Genesis does not record all the details. This is just a short rendition of what happened. But there are so many details that God had. We can't record them. The four Gospels could not record all the works that Jesus did. I think it was Luke that said, not all the books in the world could contain it. It's just the tip of the iceberg. It's the details. And now, thanks to modern science, we are learning the details. We are now learning about this whole thing called DNA. And in that DNA is you. And only your DNA matches yourself. Oh yeah, there's a little bit of your dad, there's a little bit of your mom. They might be able to go back 300 or 400 years and find your relatives. But only your DNA built you. Don't tell me God's not into details. James chapter 4. Verse 16, I'm just going to read the second half of it. It says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Effective, the word is energio. Means energy. Active operation or working of power. How do you get effective prayer? Faith. And by the way, Jesus said, it just takes a little bit of faith. The faith, the grain, the size of a grain of mustard seed. Tiny, tiny, tiny. That's all it takes. And Jesus said, you can move a mountain. You can tell a tree to get up and walk away and jump into the sea. That's all it took. By the way, talk about extreme. Jesus is talking about telling trees to get up and walk away. He's telling mountains to move. We just go get dynamite and earth-moving equipment. But Jesus is like, just tell it to move. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman. Your prayers should be full of power. Why? Because you believe God will. Let's turn to James chapter 1 now. James chapter 1, go to verse 6. It says, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This is why people don't get their prayers answered. They're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You've got to stand solid. James put it, don't let him expect to receive anything from God. You've got to go to God believing that He will, that He is. Hebrews 11:6, just before James there. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You've got to believe that when you go to before God, and we haven't even gotten to the stuff Jesus talked about, and I'm not going to get into it today, but you've got to believe that when you go before God, He's going to answer it with no doubt. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. It doesn't take much doubt. If faith operates just a little bit of seed, so does doubt. So does doubt. It does not take much. Now, I'm going to stop you right here in your tracks. Quit thinking about the failures. Quit thinking about things in the past that didn't turn out the way you wanted them to. Okay? Stop it right now. I'm actually seeing it across people's faces. You're doing nothing but tormenting yourself. Knock it off. Grow up, and let's get on with life. Let's start seeing what God has for us. Not everything ever turned out the way I wanted it. Why? Because most of the time I didn't truly believe that God wanted that. Sometimes God's will is hard for us to swallow. Yep, that's right. It's hard to swallow the will of God sometimes. It's hard to understand, God, you let me do this. You let me go through this. There's a reason for everything. Some of it's just stupid decisions we made. God let you make that stupid decision. But you can't continue thinking about the past. You've got to move on to the future. By the way, can I share a little something about the game the other night? Read an article that night as I'm watching the game. 5 reasons why Clemson will beat Ohio State. 1 reason, they can't let go of the past. They couldn't let go of their loss. And that came out a couple times, I heard. They couldn't let it go. 1 reason why believers are defeated, they can't let go of the past. They keep dredging it up. God, where were you at this time? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Just because you didn't feel God at that particular moment doesn't mean he wasn't there. I don't have to be in my wife's presence to know that I'm married. I know it. I don't have to wear a ring. I prefer not to. I know I'm married. And the hilarious part is, I feel that thing. It's not even there, but I feel it. So, why is it we get upset when we can't feel God? We got to believe that He is. No matter where you're at in your walk, no matter what's going on in your life, even if hell just woke you up in the morning. Anybody ever have a morning like that? You wake up and it's, yeah, you know what I'm talking. So when we come to God in faith, we've got to believe that He's going to reward us because we're diligently. Diligent means we're just being faithful. That we're being earnest. We're being serious about seeking Him. It doesn't mean that we just suddenly became a stick in the mud. It means that we really, truly believe that God's going to reward, that God's going to do because I ask. Jesus is the one who said it. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will do it. If you believe. Again, His word's not mine. So why is it when things don't turn out, we turn first, you know who the first people we turn against are? The preachers. You taught me this. It didn't work. I'm getting sick of hearing people say that. I just want to take this, plant it up the side of that. Now get it. It's not me. It's God's word. Do it His way. Pull yourself out of the equation. Humble yourself. That's the hard part. It's humbling right here to believe in a God that you can't see. To believe that He moves in ways that you don't understand. To believe that sometimes His mercy is letting a hurricane go through. Come on. It's hard to believe that. But yet that's exactly what a priest in Louisiana said. He said, you look at it as God's judgment. He says, I look at it as God's mercy. Some of these people had no way out of the barrios. They had to leave. It forced them to move. Some of those children actually have a chance now. I can look back at my life and bellyache and groan and moan, and sometimes I do. But the truth of the matter is, my life is the way it had to happen. Good and bad. Your life is the exact same way. Why? Because of the person you are becoming or have become. There's not a person sitting in here who does not have adversity in their life. Not one of us. But the thing is, we have to overcome that adversity and believe that God is taking care of it. Believe that it had a purpose. I'll tell you, one of the hardest things for me to ever... I've heard several stories of it. I think there's even been a couple movies made on it. But it's someone who has murdered another person's child, and they go to prison and lead them to the Lord. You think you're full of faith? Yeah. They had to forgive them to share the gospel. And if that person hadn't felt the forgiveness, they'd have never known Christ. So, there's so much more in our lives. Now, Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boldly let us come. Listen, every time you come before God in the name of Jesus, He's there, He's listening. You got the key. Can I help you out a little bit? I don't know for sure that it makes any difference, but I think the reason that I despise it so much is because people are succumbing to the spirit of Antichrist with this. And we pray in your Son's name. What name is that? Jesus. So why don't we just say in Jesus' name? Right? But we're trying not to offend anybody by Jesus. Let me tell you something. Jesus is offensive. He said it from the word go. He said, I will offend people. And by the way, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. A holy sword. Not one where we just kill people because they don't believe like us. He didn't call us to do that. While I don't think we should be out there being offensive, and I'm going to clarify that, and the word offensive is scandalon. It means a trap. I know I've offended a lot of people in here. Some of you have told me. Some of them have left. But what I said was not a trap. Yeah, it barked your shins. Truth usually does. Did I not verify it and back it up with the word? Trust me, I've got black and blue shins because it usually beats mine. Christians should not be offensive. In other words, we shouldn't be setting people up for traps and failures. neither should we be that easily offended. Christians have got to be the most offended group there is on the planet. That offends me. Really? All I did was grow a beard. All I did is get an earring. I'm going to go sin because you got a tattoo. Really? Are you that dumb? That is not the offensive that Jesus was talking about. Well, if you do something, it causes... Paul needed to tell people to start growing up, and eventually he did. Quit acting like babies, he said. When I was a little baby, I acted like a little baby. But I'm a man, and I now know my rising and falling is not based upon whether you got a twist in your hair or whether you got pink hair. It don't matter. I've seen some of you come in here with all kinds of shades of hair. Well, I know we've got two cross-country members that wore really blue. And then after a while, they just looked scary. But you know what? That does not cost us our salvation. Neither can it cost anybody theirs. It's not about that. That's what Paul kept trying to get us to understand. It's not about that. Living lascivious lifestyles is doing things that we know will compromise our faith is. That's what he was talking about. Want to know what I'm talking about? Get in 1 Corinthians and start there. This was a church, a powerful church. And Paul had to address some very touchy things in that book. But people don't want to believe him today. Well, brother, I think we just start need to be mixing the beliefs here. And we need to, Christians should be a little more lenient on things. Listen, homosexuality is a sin, and that's where it stays. I love the person, despise the sin. Because that is not who God made them to be. I heard Pastor Dosek saying one time, he was on a plane and he was reading an article. Somebody saying, I'm born this way. And he said inside me, I said, you were not born that way. God said, yes, they were. But that is not the way I created them. Something got hold of them in the womb. Mamas, when you're carrying, be careful what you're thinking. Be careful what you're watching. You are the lifeline into that child. But anyhow, there are sins of things that are listed. The church says it's okay now. Do you know we got Christians mixing witchcraft? By the way, I will never pass on those things and say, pass this on and you'll receive a blessing in 30 seconds. Just save your time. Don't put it. Send it to me. That is witchcraft in its base form. Say this prayer 10 times and something great will happen. Yeah, you just prayed 10 times. Something great happened. If you'd have just done that in the beginning in faith and asked God without somebody telling you to pray this prayer. But the things that we're mixing now, they have mixed Islam with Christianity. There's churches out in California now. Why? Because Christ has become offensive. The cross has become offensive. No kidding, Sherlock. You're just now figuring out, he said, I will offend. I am the scandalon. I will trip people up. I am the offense. He is the rock of offense. Our prayers are going to be offensive. But I refuse. If somebody asks me not to pray in Jesus' name, I will not pray. If I can't pray in Jesus' name in your special get-together, I don't need to be a part of your little fan club. I've gotten along this far without having to wear a little Mickey Mouse hat. I can carry on without being somebody's puppet. But my Bible says whatever I ask in the name of Jesus, and I don't care if it's the Greek nickname. It's easier for me to say than to go through all the ones that is the name of Christ in the Bible. But his real name is Emmanuel, God with us. And if we're going to call him by his name that he would have been called growing up, I have a problem calling my Lord and Savior Joshua. It's Yeshua. But when we pray, it's to be in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the key to your prayer life. Don't be afraid to use it. Overuse it. Of all the idiosyncrasies we're going to have praying, overuse the name of Jesus. Notice I do. It's not because I didn't believe that the first time that I didn't get in. It's I know that that's going to happen. I know God's going to move. And God may not move exactly the way I'm thinking. I've learned to be okay with that. Okay, God, you took this a little different route than I thought it was going to happen. We're going to talk later about our prayer time. We read Daniel prayed 3 times a day on cue. So much so that his enemies knew exactly when he was going to be praying. Jesus went to pray often. He is God. Kind of makes you wonder why God had to go pray. But see, he was now in a flesh and blood body. He had to go spend that time just like we do. He went off and got by himself. Well, I can't stand to be alone. You're not. You're missing the point. You're not alone. I told Angela, I said, you know what I'm going to do this year? Because we don't have sidewalks to walk on anymore. So I'm going to go around the edge of the field with a weed eater. There's like an 80-acre field behind us. I'm going to weed eat the edge. Pats, they mow around Pats behind his house. It's kind of nice. That'd be kind of nice. Plus, I'll get the deer trained to walk down through there. I'm going to lure them in. God's going to give me wisdom, and I'm going to implement it. But you see, it's about you spending time with God. And a prayer life is something you have to develop. And I'm going to say this. Don't want any guys are going to get offended anyhow. Men, open your mouth. You're a man. Let them drop. You know exactly what I'm saying. Be the prayer warrior of your family. Your family needs to hear you pray. By the way, I'm not easy on guys. Some of you ain't figured that out. Because I'm here to train men, not little boys. You are the first line of defense for your family and the first line of offense for your family. They move forward with you and they are defended with you. God placed you in that position. Your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your children, that's why you're there. The devil wants more men to quit praying. Well, I'm embarrassed to pray. Don't be. If you're ashamed of God now, he said, I will be ashamed of you when you're standing in front of me. You're going to deny knowing me down here. I'm going to deny knowing you to your face. I want to see men be men, not little boys. We got all kinds of little boys running around acting like men. You know, Beeb and all these others. Sorry, girls, if you like the Beeb. But I'll tell you right now, he's not a man. It's time, first off, men, we become the men we're created. Do you understand what prayer is? The sword of the Bible, Paul put it this way, in taking up the sword of the word. The word is like a two-edged sword. When we take that up, I want you to, from now on, when you're praying, I want you to envision yourself with a two-edged sword. And every time you pray something, you're swinging that thing at demonic forces that are hindering your family. And that you're bringing it down on the top of the head of your enemy. Because that's what you are doing. That's your prayer in action. See, I've had a hard time over the 15, 20 years now because I got trained to fight but didn't get to fight. It stinks. But God said, I needed you alive, for starters. And I needed you to take that burn and teach people how to put that into the spiritual. We got people running around here talking about machine gun prayers. They don't know the first thing about machine gun warfare. A machine gun's just a cover weapon. It ain't the machine gun that kills all the people. It's the guy sitting on the ground, the infantryman, going pop, pop, pop. Not the guy going. So just wipe out all the imagery you've got of Schwarzenegger and Rambo jumping up out of the water with an M60 machine gun, one-handed. I've carried the M60 machine gun. You hold on to that baby with both hands and you brace yourself because she's going to rock and roll and you cannot write your name in a wall. Machine gun prayer doesn't avail anything, folks. Pinpoint. One shot, one kill. When you take that and you put that to practice, watch. Machine gun prayers is, hey, let's just throw something out here and see what God jumps on. Yeah, you don't believe God's going to answer, so you're hitting all the gamuts. He said, I put you here to bring this earth into subjection. How about doing it? You got to go in. You got to find a place to start. You know, I've seen pictures from Scott and Kim's place when they first got it and they started clean. You couldn't tell there was a house there or a barn or anything there. Just like, I drove by and was like, wow, there is a house back there. It was so overgrown and then all the stuff they've cut. You got to start someplace. You get in there and you start focusing. Okay, we got to take this out. Clear this out. Can't just say, hey, let's just blow it all out. Well, when you do that, you tore up the barn that you were trying to save. That's why pinpoint prayer. I would prefer that you actually pray. That's why I think Jesus said, if there's a tree in your way, tell it to get up and walk away. If there's a mountain in your way, tell it to get up and walk away. He was telling us there's no difference in the size of your problem. Treat it the same. Big mountain, little tree. I can walk around a tree. I have yet to find a tree that I can't walk around. Mountains, I can do the same thing, but it's a lot quicker if the mountain gets out of my way. Right? So, I'm going to be teaching you about pinpointing your prayer, about taking the time in your prayer. Today we actually have war on the floor. That's what we do. We don't come in here, and that is why I ask people to start praying. That's a part of training. I can do all the praying, it has no problem. I have no problem doing it. But my job is to train people. I would have never known how to take a platoon of Marines, call them to attention, and start marching them and doing all the maneuvers I saw my drill instructors do until somebody said, here's your drill card. Out there's where you belong. Do you know how nervous I was? And I'm going to tell you why I was nervous about doing this. This is about prayer, so relate it back to there, okay? I was that nervous because I wasn't the first one to go out. I had watched these guys We had drilled. Being in the platoon, I knew what I was supposed to do. But you see, when you're out there, it's a little different story. You forget the details. And I remember this one guy, he was a sergeant, called us, right face. Okay, we got to pick up our rifles. We got our rifles with us. We're carrying our rifle right here, hooked with our fingers. Forward march. We're still carrying our rifles. We are not supposed to be carrying our rifles like that. They are supposed to be shoulder arms or port arms. We're supposed to be marching like that with our shoulder. We're carrying our rifles the whole time. He forgot to tell us to shoulder our weapons. So you know what I'm thinking when I get out there? Left shoulder arms, because it's not in my card. I started learning from people's mistakes and learned from my own mistakes. But as that happened, folks, and just as your prayer, you listen to people, you start praying. I have to laugh now when I hear people praying. That sounds familiar. That sounds familiar. They sound like they've heard that before. But you know what? They saw the effects. They saw that it worked. So when you pray, I want you to do that. So what if you prayed something and it didn't come? So what? How many times have I done it? I don't know. I quit counting. I don't worry about them. Forgetting what lies behind, marching forward. Right? So we're going to be talking about that stuff for the next couple weeks. So just, and in the next couple weeks, I want you to spend time praying. I'm not saying, listen, I don't know that there's any special thing that happens in an hour of prayer. I don't know that, personally. I fall asleep. I'm just going to be honest with you. Unless God has, there's something in my heart to be praying about that hard and that fervent for that hour, I have a tendency to fall asleep. But if I've got something, I've walked in this building for hours before praying. God had something for me to be praying about, and I was praying. Start with 5 minutes. Just keep in mind, though, that when you're walking around, the Apostle Paul says, don't stop praying. You're driving down the road. You know, God does like it when you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for those trees. Thank you for this blue sky. Yes, you can even thank him for the idiot that just cut you off. Say, bless him, Lord. It's what your Bible says. Start there, okay? Start there. Don't try to build a regimented prayer time of 3 hours a day when you haven't prayed 30 seconds in a full day yet. Start small, build big. But keep in mind, the Apostle Paul just said, never cease praying. You got opportunity all the time. And it doesn't matter what. Praying is actually communication between you and God. Remember, it's communication. Sometimes you do need to shut up. All right, let's stand. So having said that, again, just a quick reminder, we're on the floor today at 4:30. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God's going to be doing. Unless we pray for our country, we've prayed for healings for people. We've seen people healed, people delivered. Don't ever tell yourself God doesn't care, because he cares. He may not, it may not have happened since last month, but no, it's happening. It is happening. Effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God heard it, and he's got things in motion for it. Amen? All right. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Father, for the very life you have given us. Father, we thank you that you are merciful to us. And again, I have to thank you that you've never left me. You've never forsaken me. Even times, Father, when I've slipped away, not felt like I was as close as I should be, but rather you stuck right there with me. Lord, I pray now that as we all as we all begin to communicate with you. We begin to pray seriously, earnestly, Father. Lord, I know you will answer. Father, help us all. Give us the resolve to do what we need to do. Father, I pray for each person in here today as they begin this, Lord, that you begin working on them. Father, I specifically pray for all the men of this church, that they rise up, they become the husband prayer warrior, they become the daddy prayer warrior, they become the grandpa prayer warrior that is needed for their families. Father, that people will know to come to them as well. Because I know in the heart of every man, Father, you have put this to protect their families. They will do what is best for their families. Father, help them to realize they need your best. And to be the prayer warrior, the man of God that you've created him to be, is at the top of your list. So, Father, strengthen them. Encourage them, Father. Cause your Holy Spirit to rise up in them right now. In Jesus' name, amen.